Welcome to a special edition of Cult Schnero Chat. I'm your host, Jeremy Barron. This episode is going to run a little bit differently from most of our other episodes. No Rob Walker on this edition of the show. However, Ewan McTeer and Kian Sobhani stopped by. They are my guests across two separate segments. And we have a lot of ground to cover. So without further ado, let's get started.
Probably have to start with Joao Felix. I mean, this is the not just the biggest story probably of Atletico's summer, but it's the biggest story of the week for Spanish football, I think.
And indeed all of European football. That Atletico are set to pay this much money for a teenager is just... It's Atletico. They're not supposed to be able to do this. But we have a question from a Cult Schnero Chat amigo, Alex Elliott. He says... Your thought on Joao Felix's more than likely arrival? I'm excited at his potential, but scared that the pressure will be too much for this kid to handle at this stage in his career.
Yeah, the pressure is one element of it, and the price tag is another. I'm not sure about pressure. I think a lot of these young players that are coming through, they have pressure. They can deal with it. He's had pressure playing for a big club like Benfica from a very young age, so I'm sure the pressure won't be so much of the aspect for it, but it is a break. Big price tag, and for Atletico, that's just a problem, isn't it? 120 million euros, the release clause for Joao Felix, 120 million is the release clause for Griezmann. But remember, Atletico don't get all of the money for Griezmann, they only get 96 million euros of it because the rest gets passed on to Real Sociedad because they have a percentage of the transfer fee. So basically, Atletico are spending more money than they'll get for Griezmann to get a player who is similar to Griezmann, but several years younger, several years, to put it bluntly, worse. So it's maybe not the smartest bit of business, but if you're going to get a top talent, maybe that's the kind of price you have to pay, and maybe you have to buy these players at a young age now. They could have gone for someone like Lo Celso or Mikel Oyarzabal for about half of that and spent the rest on other areas, but they've decided to go and get the up-and-coming superstar, and I don't know, I just fear they may have spent a bit too much on him and not left himself enough to basically fill the defence, because there's only four defenders from last season's squad who are continuing. What do you think of the price tag? Are they spending too much of this summer's transfer budget on one guy?
It's a tough one, because I see it both ways. That percentage that La Real now get, that comes in handy, because Atletico are overspending, technically. I think the price tag is... It's a lot of money. This is now, assuming it gets confirmed, which it likely will be when this pod comes out, assuming that it gets done, that is the fourth most expensive transfer in history for a kid who's had one season, one professional season at Benfica. Granted, he was great, and he's got loads of potential and talent, but it's only one season, and it's a league that isn't considered an elite European league. There is going to be pressure on him to come in and immediately just star for this team, to immediately take over this attack and be the next Griezmann. They're also paying him, I think, 6 or 7 million a year, which makes him, I want to say, the third highest paid player in the club. That's aside. What most concerns me is how he's going to fit in tactically, because we know Simeone's track record just isn't the greatest when it comes to these versatile kind of wingers / second strikers. How do you think he fits in tactically?
Well, I think he does fit in where Griezmann leaves. He'll probably play in that sort of, that sort of one position. Everyone talks about Atletico play 4-4-2. They don't really. They've played for the last few years 4-4-1-1 with Griezmann being the one behind a striker. I think he'll play in that role. And I don't know, I think it could work. A lot of the players that have come over the years and haven't really worked out, you know, Jackson Martinez, Carrasco, even Thomas Lamar, these have been proper wingers. These have been players who have been wingers who have been put on the wing and it just hasn't worked. But this guy, as much as he can play there, I think he'll be playing more centrally. I think he'll be playing basically as an attacking midfielder, his ideal position, the position Griezmann has been in. So I think it's going to be a little bit different, because when Simeone has taken Griezmann in, for example, and turned him into the perfect link between midfield and attack, that has worked. No one talks about that really, about the way Simeone has absolutely made Griezmann into one of the best players in the world. When Griezmann won the World Cup last summer, one of the first people he phoned was Simeone to say thanks, because Simeone made Griezmann what he is. So I think he can do it. Simeone can turn attacking players into something. He's not like this defensive ghoul that just turns every attacking talent into dust. He's turned some players into better attackers. It just tends to be his failures in an attacking sense of being with out-and-out wingers. João Félix isn't going to be a winger, I don't think, for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to fit into that second striker role. I don't see a tactical, like a formation change, because we know Simeone too well at this point. That Leopard's not really going to change his spots, but he doesn't necessarily need to. If João Félix comes in and he plays that second striker role behind Morata, he could do okay. You mentioned Thomas Lemar, and this is just a brief aside. How do you think he does next year?
I think he'll do better. There were glimpses towards the end of last season when he showed what he's capable of. The Valencia game, the 3-2 in the rain in particular, he was really good. I think he just took a bit of time to adapt, and I think he'll be better, more suited next summer. The problem is, how long does he get? They've just spent a lot of money on one player. Everybody seems to be leaving. I think Lemar will stay to the end of the transfer window, but don't put it past that. Him being moved on either, if not now in January to China or next summer or something like that. So Lemar really has to step up quickly, and I think he can. I think he'll be better.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him, considering his price tag last summer was 70 million. João Félix is nearly double that. So it, whatever the case, it is exciting and it is interesting that Atleti have decided to go all in on this 19-year-old. And they see him as the centerpiece of this brand new project, of this just transitional period. Without Griezmann, without these veteran defenders, this kid is going to be the star. So the fee is one thing. The incomings and outgoings in terms of money, Atletico are spending a lot of money, or are going to spend a lot of money this summer, but they're also bringing in a lot of money. You consider the three sales that have been completed or are going to be completed. You have Lucas gone for 80 million, you have Griezmann gone for 96 million, and almost certainly Rodri, who we'll get to in a minute, Rodri gone for 70 million. Right there, that is 250 million euros to play with, and half of that is going to João Félix. And it is a gamble, but Atleti have some room, they can't afford it.
They do, but it's not just a case of balancing the books in this transfer window with Atletico Madrid. I mean, this is still a club that's in massive, massive debt, most debt than almost every other team in Spain. So they're still in a situation where they need to make a profit during transfer windows, as depressing as it may be to say that. They've been able to balance the books the last few years by making money on player sales, not necessarily last summer, but in the previous few years. So they're going to struggle to sort of fill out the squad while breaking even, and it's going to be a top heavy squad. They've already spent so much on one player, and they really have to make a profit as well. So it'll be a top heavy squad, I think, with some really good players in it and some really average ones. I mean, right now they're basically the LA Lakers of La Liga, which I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wrote about this too, and I've talked about it, is that there are other places in the squad that really need reinforcing. Defensively, fullbacks in particular. Atleti currently have zero fullbacks, unless the plan is to use Andres Solano or some of the academy kids, then that's got to change. Atletico do need to be careful with their money, and this is not the most careful usage of it. Now, the payoff could be huge. This João Félix could become a star. He could become a global superstar and a Ballon d'Or contender, but he's not there yet.
No, exactly. And you even see that with Herrera, for example, who's going to come in from Porto. That's a free transfer. And
that's big.
I think there'll be quite a few free transfers, or maybe even loan deals, or just very cheap players coming in to bulk up the squad a little bit. And we've seen in the past that Atletico's problem maybe hasn't been their starting 11, it's been squad depth. So that's something that worries me, because that sort of seems like a case of we've seen this story before.
Yeah, and Atletico do still have some money, as evidenced by the pending Marcos Llorente transfer, as evidenced by the negotiations for Hermoso at Espanyol, which is another potential signing I'm very excited about. But yeah, they cannot spend recklessly, and this does have some, I guess, hallmarks of a reckless signing. But again, the payoff could be just gigantic. So I see it both ways. We'll have to see how it plays out. Either way, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting one way or the other. I mean, Atletico are going to be a must-watch team next year.
No, for sure. And I think that is an important point. If you sort of just replace everybody with sort of logical, smart, small signings, a little bit here, a little bit there kind of thing, it becomes a bit boring for the fans. I mean, you look at what Tottenham did a few years ago when they got all that money for Gareth Bale. They spent it on about half a dozen different players, and nobody even really remembers who they were anymore. It wasn't very an exciting way to replace a player. This at least is exciting. The fans are going to be excited whenever he's presented at the Wanda, assuming they actually let fans in this year. There'll be a big crowd there for the presentation. So yeah, this will be an exciting signing for the fans to come to the Wanda Metropolitano, but we know fans will come no matter what. So maybe just something for Atletico to continue to be relevant on an international level, to have a marquee player like that. As long as he does fairly well, let's not put numbers of goals, assists, anything like that. As long as he does fairly well, then I think once we get into the season after this one, we can really start to demand something from this guy. But this is very much going to be a transitional year, because number one, he's at a new club, and number two, he's still only 19. If he was still at Benfica, it would still be the kind of year where you're not going to be demanding too much of him. So patience with him, and we'll see. But some of the other players coming in are players that we'll expect to fit in right now, and maybe they'll be judged a little bit more harshly if they don't work out.
Yeah, some of the more experienced players, and they maybe not should be judged more harshly, but that kind of comes with the territory, as they do.
Yeah,
have,
maybe not should, but they will.
They do have more experience. Before we move on to some of those players, another question from a Colchonero chat amigo, Trace Gatos. With all of these potential new players coming in from Portugal and Spain, which guys do you see leaving this summer? He mentions a few names such as Costa, Vitolo, Angel Correa. Ewan, who do you think is... what other players do you think are going to follow the aforementioned trio out the door?
Well, I'd like to think not many, because I don't really think Atletico can afford to let many more go. There might be players that they would sort of think could be moved on. I mean, players in the squad like Stefan Savage, for example, or even Vitolo, guys like this who Atletico probably are ready to move on from, but they can't really afford to move on from them because so many others are leaving. So they might have to stick with some players that ideally they would have moved out and got new guys in, because other guys have gone. So I think most of the departures this summer are going to be the ones where it's the players who want to leave rather than Atletico moving on players they want rid of. I do think Nikola Kalinic will go, or maybe Costa, one of those two, because they do have too many strikers. But and we remember, of course, Borja Garces, who showed some signs of promises out with a long-term knee injury. So they do need a certain number of strikers, but I think they'll lose one of them because they have too many. But yeah, I think most of the ones who have already announced that they're leaving, Juan Fran, Godin, Griezmann, and Rodrigo, who seems set to go as well. So I don't think there'll be too much more from that, because you can't really have any more turnover. Felipe Luis is one that's 1 foot out the door, but we'll see how that one goes. A lot of these players, remember, their future won't be decided until after the Copa America. Same goes for Santiago Arias. So
yeah,
we'll have to wait and see. It'll be a busy month of August, I think.
Yeah, pretty important to keep Arias around now, considering the fullback situation, which is very fluid.
And this is a perfect example for what I was just saying, just to say, like, he's a player who maybe didn't have the kind of season they expected and might have been looking to move on. In other years, they might have moved on, but they can't really afford to now, because that just gives them one extra position to try to fill. So because so many others have left, because Juan Fran has left, for example, Atletico are almost forced to say, well, we're going to stick with you for another year, because if we completely clear out the right back room and completely bring it to new players in, that's not an ideal situation.
Yeah, and it does look like if Arias is going to be like fully entrenched as the number one fullback. There was some talk about Nelson Semedo coming in from Barca. That would have been exciting, but does not look like that is happening now, especially if Griezmann ends up not moving there, which is the latest report that this whole Neymar situation is going to end up with Griezmann going to PSG. But that's for another podcast. As for the players still here, Kalinic, I think, is definitely going to go. He just was never a fit, just never really had the quality to be consistently in this team other than that six-week span in November and December, really. Vitolo, I think Vitolo might stay. One of Vitolo or Correa is going to go, I think. And Simeone does like both players, so that's kind of a toss-up. Otherwise, I'm not really sure. Savic is going to stay. He's going to be like the fourth center back, especially if Hermoso comes in. Yeah, I don't know. I think Kalinic is the only one we can kind of definitively say he's going to leave. I just don't think anyone's going to come in for Costa. He makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
He cost a lot of money. And Simeone absolutely loves him. I don't think anyone is really going to come in for him.
Yeah, unless they can find some other miracle deal from China.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. But we have to remember when China saved Atletico with the Jackson Martinez transfer, that was at a different era where the taxes that Chinese clubs had to pay on transfer fees were much less. Now the taxes they have to pay have gone way up, so it's just not viable. It's not as viable now for Chinese clubs to pay actual transfer fees. They can still pay the wages, the crazy wages, but to pay actual transfer fees now is not the same as it was when Atletico were able to somehow yeah, make back what they spent on Jackson Martinez after just 6 months.
Still remarkable how they pulled that off. Yeah, I think that tax, 100% tax, goes to the Chinese government, I think, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think so, yeah. So teams really don't want to get into that.
Unless the Chinese government is a big fan of Diego Costa, which I don't know if they are or not. I can't say either way. Unless that is the case, I don't think this is going to happen. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, there's still a long ways to go, and Atleti have only announced one signing that hasn't been fully completed yet. Felipe Montero won't technically join until July 4th. But yeah, there are still a few pieces left on this chessboard to move. One of them is Rodri. Zach Drisco asks, what percentage of you is devastated by Rodri leaving for Man City? Most likely leaving for Man City. Personally, like Rodri's silky smooth passing, I am 91% devastated by the news. He will be great for City's system, though.
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed because I liked watching Rodri, and the way he tucked his shirt into shorts, that's proper old school. And that alone was something cool. But I don't know if he was ever a great fit for Atletico. He was, in a sense, in that he complemented Thomas Partey really well. Two players that are a lot more similar than people actually think. But they do different jobs, and when the two of them were together, they could complement each other really well. But I don't know if he really was an Atletico kind of player. He was supposed to be the replacement for Gabby, in a sense, and his style of football is nothing like Gabby's. And I don't know if that really was the kind of style that works for Atletico Madrid, or at least works for Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid. So maybe, in a sense, it could be a good thing to move him on and get other kind of more Simeone-esque players in. Having said that, they are getting Marcus Llorente, who probably is the player most similar to Rodrigo that's available. A player that can play in the centre, that can keep the ball well, that can pass the ball well, and that is just an absolute freak physically in terms of being able to run and win the ball back. So yeah, I'm excited to see this one. I didn't think it would be possible because of the Real Madrid issue, but I now kind of love that they broke the no transfers pack, and even more so that they did it for Theo Hernandez, because now it means Atletico can also feel no pressure with going and trying to buy some of their players, and that's exactly what they've been able to do, which is exciting, because I think there are quite a lot of good players that will be on Real Madrid's books in years to come that will not want to change city, that will want to stay. We've sort of already seen how Morata has come to Atletico after, via Chelsea, but a player who really just wanted to be in the city of Madrid. I think James was another one. He's probably going to Napoli, but he's a player who would have loved to be in the city of Madrid. He's a kind of player that Atletico maybe could have gone for as well. So it's exciting now that Real Madrid's players that they want to move on from, some of whom are not necessarily being moved on from for sporting reasons, could make their way to the one, the Metropolitano, because some of them are very good.
Yeah, and Llorente and Morata both have Atleti blood in their veins, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They both have something to prove. Morata had that really disastrous spell, frankly, at Chelsea, and he's come good so far, and Marcos just hasn't been around the first team in 2 years. I mean, he's been around, but other than this past season for several weeks before he got hurt, he had been playing pretty well, but we haven't really seen him at peak of his powers since he was at Alaves, and he was great at Alaves, arguably their best player that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they played a style that's a bit more suited to, a bit more similar to the Atletico style, and yeah, I think he can perform a role. He can certainly keep the ball well, be the kind of guy that they look to in midfield to keep the ball when under pressure, like they did with Rodri, but he can also add something else, I think, a little bit more in the defensive game. So yeah, I'm excited to see him come, and he seems like a player who's going to come with a vengeance, really. He really wants to prove himself. I think he feels he's wasted 2 years of his career, and there's nothing better than a player who's a little bit peeved off at Real Madrid.
Yeah, Colchonero chat amigo Nicolas Pagano was kind of asking about that, how good technically Llorente is. I think he'll come good, assuming he stays healthy. The fee is reasonable at $40 million, considering that release clause is $200 million. I think $40 million is a pretty good price. Nicholas also asks a little bit about Koke, where we think he's going to be next season. Will he, I guess, finally transition into kind of a central midfield role? I quote, "I still don't know if he's best played as a wide playmaker or in the center. He'll be central to anything Atletico do next season, so really want him at his best again," unquote.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I get the feeling that him and Saul are going to be moved all over the place again.
Probably.
To fill in where needed, much like they were last season. Not maybe to the extent that Saul played about a dozen games at left-back, but I think him and Koke will basically be used as wingers for important games, for important Champions League games. But yeah, there might be some cases where Koke can be used in a sort of 4-3-1-2 with João Félix and somebody, Morata probably, up the top. So, yeah, I mean, we saw signs last season of Simeone trying some new things tactically. I don't think we'll ever see anything that doesn't, if you squint your eyes enough, look like a 4-4-2. But we might see some variations of it.
Koke can be productive really anywhere you put him, because he's just that good and that busy and that versatile. I don't know, it will be, a word of the day, it'll be interesting. It will be interesting to see if Cholo makes any further tweaks, and really what comes of all this with the summer still, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks from really ending and the squad needing to be finalized. Speaking of that, at Kappa1010 on Twitter asks, what kind of squad is Cholo looking for? Something different or just replacing lost parts? We've been discussing that a little bit. I think it's kind of both.
Yeah, I think so. It's when you look at the sort of players they're going for, it's a lot of like-for-like replacements, mostly, more or less. You know, Godin out, Hermoso in, Griezmann out, João Félix in, Rodrigo out, Llorente in. I think the squad will be quite similar. When you think about it, I think last season was better than most people think. Atletico had over 50 injuries. That's more than any other team in La Liga. Had that not happened, who knows what could have happened. I still think Barcelona would have won the league, but they could have been a lot closer, and maybe the season is looked at in a different light. So I don't think the club want to rip it all up and start again. The issue is that certain players have decided to leave, and that's forced the club to rebuild the squad. I think they didn't really want to have to do this overhaul. It's not really a transition into a new era that the club planned for. It's something they've been forced into. But if they can rebuild the squad in the image of the past few seasons, then I think they'd be pretty happy with that. So yeah, I think it's going to be a similar kind of squad to what we've had in recent seasons.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the planning for this overhaul was suspect, but it is a little curious. Do you think that there may be some second guessing with regard to letting Godin, Juan Fran, and likely Felipe all go for free? Do you think there's any like second thoughts on that?
Well, I don't really think they had much of a choice. I mean,
sure.
The only way they could have really changed that is if they'd altered the way Atletico do the contracts. With players over 30, they tend to only get 1 year extensions at a time, and a lot of players don't like that. That was certainly one of the issues for Godin. It was one of the reasons that Juan Fran ended up as a free agent this summer, and it meant the decision was in his hands. So maybe there's some regrets there in the overall policies, but with each individual case, I don't think there was anything that the club could have done too differently. This was just the case that several players all at once, Griezmann included, wanted to leave this summer, and there wasn't too much planning they could have done to stop that, except for the sort of overall issues of you know, the release clauses they put, the overall culture of the club, the contracts for over 30s, the sort of ambitions of the club. So yeah, bigger issues that they have to sort out to keep players, and to keep players wanting to come to the club, to keep players at the club. But yeah, maybe something like Joao Felix, maybe that forms part of that. Maybe that's part of the ambition. We saw reports a few weeks ago of Jan Oblak not being unhappy at his new contract necessarily, but being unhappy at the lack of ambition at the club, the way the signings were going, the way the transfer market was going. For him to see someone come from his ex-club, someone he'll know all about, Joao Felix, for him to see the club, you know, backing a young talent like that, that's the kind of thing that'll keep Oblak happy. And if Oblak's happy, then I'm happy.
There you go. Yeah, same, because he's kind of good, and he's kind of important to what Atleti want to do.
Exactly.
He's all right. He's pretty good there. At @DareLemke_Lemke on Twitter asks, who are your dream players to join during this rebuild? An interesting one.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. One of them, I just mentioned him a little bit before, would have been James Rodriguez. I think, well, it won't happen now because Joao Felix is the guy that's coming in to sort of replace Griezmann. But I think you could have got James on a very good price there. I think he would have come back to Madrid, been happy here. And I think he's still an excellent player. But yeah, that's not going to happen now. So in terms of other dream signings, I guess you just really need fullbacks. Every other position is going to be semi-sorted at this point. The problem is the squad depth, as we've been saying. The problem is the squad depth, and there's not going to be too many more signings that come in that are going to be as sexy as Joao Felix, because most of them are going to be backups that come in. But there could be a place for a new starting right back, a new starting left back, and yeah, these are the kind of players that don't maybe stand out, but that win you trophies. Because there was a point with Juan Fran and Felipe Luis where Atletico had the best two fullbacks in all of football probably, and that was when they were at their best. So yeah, maybe dream signings has got to be at the fullback position, I think.
Yeah, Nelson Semedo would have been my choice. I would love to have seen him come to Atletico. He is a bit suspect defensively, I know that, but he's very fast and very good in an attacking sense. I would love to have seen him come in, but that does not appear to be a thing. I kind of echo what you were saying about James. I'm just not sure how James would have fit, because he's best in that kind of free-roaming number 10 in a 4-2-3-1 type of system. I'm just not sure how James would have fit, but he would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But yeah, if you can get a player of that quality for the kind of price that Napoli seem about to get him for, then that could have been a smart way to semi-replace Griezmann. You're not going to replace Griezmann, but to semi-replace his position at least, and then have money to spend. But in the end, we've got a very expensive 19-year-old. So yeah, I hope he's just as we'll go back to that word, interesting.
Yeah. Again, word of the day. One final Patreon, actually two more Patreon questions, a kind of humorous one from Abel Molina. Any thoughts on what the club could do to have fewer dud signings?
Have fewer departures, to be honest.
Fair point.
Everyone talks about the number of players that Atletico have signed and it's not worked out. And part of the reason is that Atletico sign a lot of players. Their turnover is higher than almost any other top European club. So percentage wise, they probably have as many good and as many bad signings as any club. The problem is, in total terms, they do have quite a lot of bad signings, but that's because they sign, you know, at least half a dozen players every single summer. Not all the top clubs do that. So that's part of the problem, and the reason that happens is because of the departures. Partly because players want to leave, and partly because the club sell players on for a profit when they can do. So if you have fewer departures, then you have fewer replacements to make, and then you have fewer. Now that's that didn't come out. I'll say that again. If you had fewer departures, you have fewer players to replace, and then you have fewer players that could end up being a dud. Basically, that's my Yoda-esque way of putting it.
Obviously, Twitter is not the best place to gauge this, but there is a lot of consternation about Atletico spending this kind of money on a teenager, and Atletico spending the money they spend every summer. Oh, Atletico spent 150 million euros this summer. How can they claim that they are this type of club, this status, this lower tier status? And that's basically why, is that, well, they have to sell every summer. Like, Atletico can't go out and spend the money that Real Madrid spend without selling a bunch of players. I mean, Madrid have to do that too, but Atletico cannot spend that kind of money without something coming back. Atletico still do have that sense of being a selling club in that respect.
No, it's very true. I mean, you see it quite a lot on Twitter. How have Atletico spent this much? Why is Simeone saying that we can't compete with Barcelona right. and Real Madrid? Well, yeah. Last season, for example, Barcelona and Real Madrid had double the budget of Atletico Madrid, and people will go, "Ah, but you spent this much on transfer money, and you spent it." No, it's not. It's not the FIFA video game. It's like in an actual football club with real life bricks and mortar and employees. Your total budget is much more than just what you spend on transfers. It's also salaries, things like this. And Barcelona and Real Madrid can offer the kind of salaries that often in modern football make more of a difference than what you spend on transfer fees. And you look at the players that Atletico have lost, that they've had to sell in recent years, and there's some very good ones. There's Johnny, who went to Wolves, for example. Even Kevin Gameiro, they probably didn't really want to have to sell him as their backup striker, but he went as well. Teo Hernandez, Carrasco, they kind of had to sell for a big profit because that money was put to them. You see other guys that have gone, like Miranda, when he went. You go back and there's just all these players that Atletico have lost in recent years. Even the year after they won the title, they immediately lost Diego Costa, Felipe Luis. These guys left despite having just won the league. David Villa as well, the year after Arda Turan left. Mm-hmm. So all of these players are players that have left Atletico. So, okay, you make some money from that, but then that means you have to spend a lot more to bring them in. So if you look at how much Atletico spends on bringing players in, yeah, it's going to be quite a lot. But like I said, with the number of duds they have and things like that, it's also because so many of them depart. So to go back to that original question, how can they have fewer duds? How can they stop spending so much? Well, basically, try to keep the players you have.
Your earlier point about like budgets and revenue and wages, just because Atletico could afford to pay Griezmann 23 million euros a year, just because they could afford it doesn't mean they could afford it in a separate sense. That contract was never sustainable, and it did do serious damage to the wage structure. It contributed to why Atletico couldn't improve Lucas's contract and he left. It's in part a reason why Atletico were reluctant to give Godin a new contract, and he's going off to Inter. It's a reason why Oblak's renewal took a long time, and even then, Oblak's status isn't totally secure, because his release clause is still pretty affordable if someone really, really wants him. And Real Madrid and Barcelona also have additional leverage. They can put absurd release clauses in their players' contracts. Atletico can't do that. Rodri leaves for 70 million euros because Atleti don't have that real leverage.
No, that's exactly right. There's a lot more to it than just what you see on the in column and the out column on the sort of transfer reports at the end of the summer. There's a lot more to it than that, especially when it comes to free agents. But even with players you're paying for, it's all about what you can offer in salary. And Atletico they couldn't offer the kind of salaries that they offered Griezmann. They offered it to Griezmann, and even then, like you say, it was affordable, but it really wasn't affordable. It did a lot of damage, that money they paid to him. So to have that off their books is a good thing, and yeah, it means they can spend a bit more money on wages, at least elsewhere.
Yeah, and Joao Felix is coming in, and his wages are going to be about a fourth of what Griezmann was making. So that's just a huge sigh of relief for the wage bill.
Yeah, exactly.
One last question. It's about Atleti's youth players. You have some knowledge of this, Ewan. Tres Gatos mentions one Germán Varela. I've watched and read a ton about Germán Varela in the Spanish youth sides. They seem to be really high on him in the Spain youth national team setup. I've not read or seen much about him in the Atleti channels, though. We see and hear more about guys like Mollejo, Camelo, Garthith, and Javi Montero. Is this coming year a year where you think we may be starting to see and hear more about Varela and these other kids, or do they all seem to be 2 or 3 years away still, if that?
I think it's still going to be a way away. This last season, I think he was in the juvenil team, so that's still a level below the B team, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on at that level, playing in real semi-professional football with proper adults. Once we see him playing there, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on at that level. He's still probably a couple of years away. I think he's only 17, 18. So
yeah, he's 17.
The kind of player that if we do see him, it's probably not a good thing because it probably means we have too many injuries and suspensions in other positions. So I'm sure he might be the kind of player that is used in Copa del Rey games this season, but to be honest, I think he's probably still too young to even be the kind of player used in Copa del Rey games, because we see as much as Simeone always plays the backup goalkeeper instead of Oblak in the Copa del Rey, which irritates me every season because this is a competition that Atletico, I think, should win. Generally, he doesn't really use as many youth players as Real Madrid and Barcelona. He tends to use the backup guys of his squad, the guys like Kalinic, Vitolo, these kind of players. So we might see him in the Copa del Rey, but I think more likely we'd see him in Atletico's 2020-21 Copa del Rey campaign. But yeah. Lots of good things by all accounts. Everyone in the academy loves him, but he's still very much in the academy, not really on the brink of that breakthrough to the first team just yet.
Yeah, he's only 17, 16 going on 17.
Is it 17?
Yeah, 17 now. And he came over from Villarreal, much to Villarreal's displeasure. Atletico kind of poached him from their academy. That has not contributed to those two teams, those two clubs having a good relationship at this point. But yeah, Barella is still very young. Moyejo is arguably the top academy prospect, so he could maybe get some chances next year. It sucks about what happened to Borja when he did his knee. He's likely going to miss a good chunk, if not all, of next season with that injury. It's really unfortunate because I've always enjoyed watching him. Javi Montero, I think, has some promise, but he is probably going to go out on loan. If Cholo sees that kind of
future form. It's hard to know. Loan deals tend to be done in August time when teams are sort of scraping around desperately for players. So it's hard to know this early what the loan situation is going to be in terms of players that are going out from the academy. So I don't really know if we can guess. There's some players that you think will go out and loan, but things can change. It all depends on what needs and what good relationships I'd like to go have with certain clubs. But yeah, I'm sure a few of these guys will go out loan and we'll get to see them in La Liga and get a good look at them, which will be exciting. And yeah, another year for Francisco Montero, I think, which is going to be really exciting. Right now, as it stands, he's maybe starting centre back, but obviously there's guys coming in that position. But maybe by the time everything's said and done, he'll be the fourth choice centre back maybe this season, which would be good because whenever he came in last season, and he came in some big games, Borussia Dortmund, for example.
Yep.
He came in and he performed well, so be interesting to see what he can do, and another step forward for him because he played quite a lot of games last season, about 700 minutes for the first team in total. So we'll see what he can do next season.
And that's really impressive because Simeone doesn't usually give those kinds of minutes to kids from the academy. But yeah, Montero...
It's impressive, but it was also just the fact that there were so many injuries.
It was necessary.
And so many, particularly in defence.
Yeah, I cannot take another 50 injury season. It raised my blood pressure. I can't do it again. But Montero is one to keep an eye on. Joaquin, as well, is another really, really exciting prospect. Moyejo, we've been hearing about him for a couple of years. So, yeah, these guys may get chances in the Copa del Rey or even with the first team. Substitute appearances, potential loan moves. We'll see. Like most things in this summer of transition and this summer that is kind of Atleti embarking on a new era of sorts, a lot of balls up in the air, a lot of chess pieces yet to move, a lot of dominoes yet to fall, and I'm running out of metaphors, so I'm going to stop right there. that's anything else you got, Ewan? Anything you want to plug?
No, not really. Just obviously keep on looking at Into the Calderon over the next few weeks because it sounds like it's going to be a busy few weeks of imports. None so far, even though we're in mid-June, but it's all about the change. I think it's going to be a busy few weeks, and of course, when it gets to August, I think it's going to be very busy as well because I think Atletico this summer is in the kind of situation you don't really want to be, where I doubt they'll have all their business done by the start of the season. But that only makes the first few games of the season all the more interesting.
I'd like to thank my guest from this first segment of Colt Gennaro Chat, Ewan McTeer. You can follow Ewan on Twitter at emcteer, and you can read him and find his content at a bunch of different places on the internet. He freelances for both Into the Calderon and Managing Madrid. He's featured in Marca, These Football Times, Tifo Football, La Liga Lowdown, and he's also got a couple books, Eibar the Brave and Hijacking La Liga. I read and reviewed the latter last season. Let me tell you, it is great. All about Atletico's 2014 title run. Ewan McTeer, at emcteer on Twitter. Coming up next, Kian Sobani joins me, and we talk a little bit about Rodri, a little bit about Marco Llorente, and a little bit about other stuff, too. Stick with us. Hello, listener. This is a special segment of Colchonero Chat, and I am pleased to be joined now by the well-traveled Managing Madrid boss, Kian Sobani. Kian, how are you?
I'm doing great. Always a pleasure being on Colchonero Chat. Looking forward to discussing some footy with you.
Thanks for coming on, man. This is always fun when you and I can sit down and have a chat. And this is going to be an interesting one because we have some more inter-Madrid action. Marcos Llorente and Rodri, not swapping places, but the Real Madrid man likely coming into Atletico to replace the outgoing Rodri, and we're going to talk all about that in just a minute here. But first, Kian, Real Madrid are signing a player every other day this summer. I was just hoping to get your thoughts on what we've seen so far from the five massive transfers that have been confirmed and these players introduced to this point. Who are you most excited about? Who do you think is going to be the most seamless fit, etc.?
Well, it's funny you mentioned every other day because it didn't dawn on me until you said this, but it really does feel like every other day because I at any given point, I don't even know what presentation's on going to be on TV anymore. Like, I don't, like, people, Ewan's like, hey, I'm here at the Mendy press conference. Presentation. I just submitted the quotes, just so you know. I'm like, oh, that was today. Okay. So it's just like, it really does feel like nonstop. By the way, I was looking back, and I mentioned this to Diego on the Chutos y Tacticas podcast, that if it does seem like Real Madrid has spent so much already, and then I went back and checked the numbers, and I realized that they already surpassed the 2009 summer where they brought in Ronaldo, Kaká. Which wow. doesn't seem that way because the players we brought in aren't on the level of Ronaldo, Kaká, Xabi Alonso, but it's just like you accumulate all this together, starting from Rodrigo, and then going down to the Militao and Hazard and Mendy. And Jovic, it's a lot. So in terms of seamless fit, I think the two most seamless fits will be, although the number one seamless fit, I think, will be Hazard because he's so versatile in attack and he's clearly someone who's immediately needed. But Jovic is the other one that Real Madrid hadn't had that reliable goal scorer, and it wasn't as great as Benzema was this year. We still didn't really have that consistent guy who can put the goals in big games, like, you know, and Benzema didn't really score those goals in the big games. So we needed someone who's just like cold-blooded in front of goal like Jovic, and also young, a lot of upside. So those are the two that that stand out in terms of like the most needed signings. And then the other ones like Rodrigo, I still don't know how much we'll see this season. It'd probably be similar to like what Vinicius did going to Castilla at first and then maybe working his way in it. The squad needs him. And Mendy, I also wouldn't classify as an urgent or necessary signing, but a good signing in the sense that as deep as that position is for us, Mendy's like an upgrade because he's just one of the best left backs in the world and he's insanely promising. So there's a lot going on right now, trying to keep up with it. Having said that, all of this was needed, I'd say, because a revolution in many ways was needed.
Yeah, and so far the revolution's going well. Jeez, how much have you guys already spent this summer? That's like almost 300 million already?
Yeah, it's about 300, I think, yeah, if you add it up.
And surely a lot of sales coming after this, one of which we'll get to in a minute, but Llorente, in addition to Ceballos, James, some of those guys are going to be on the way out. What about Gareth Bale, Kian?
who knows? I mean, his agent today, they were recording this, or maybe it was yesterday, actually. But I saw the quote today that Bale, again, wants to stay in Madrid, and there's, like, no chance of him going out on loan, basically. So if he's talking like that, it means they have to sell him, and who are you going to find? And I made, in one of my bold predictions articles, I made the prediction that, you know what, I think Bale's going to stay. And this is why I kind of, like, was not on board with everybody getting mad about Bale not playing in his last game at the Burnham. I was like, you know what, maybe this actually isn't his last game anyway, so, like, I think we can just wait and see. I don't know if it's crazy that if he stays, so who knows what happens. Again, I don't know, but obviously he doesn't want to leave, and he's not going to make it easy for the club to sell him. So there's, like, what, 3-4 teams maybe maximum that can sign him that may or may not be interested. So it's going to be really tough.
Probably even less than that.
Yeah, probably less, actually.
In terms of paying his wages.
I'm thinking Manchester United or Tottenham, one of those guys. Is that possible?
Or Bayern, I suppose.
Or Bayern. Bayern need the Robin Ribery replacements. Maybe PSG. But PSG doesn't need him either. Unless Neymar leaves. So, like, there's a lot of... Even though we've even shortlisted these few teams, we're assuming that they might even be interested, which we don't know if they would be.
Yeah, that situation is just fascinating to me. What's going to happen with Bale and what's going to go on with him if he does stay? He might just not play, which, you know, I think he obviously liked to play, but his wages are pretty high, so it won't be a total loss for him.
Isn't it strange, Jeremy, that, like, it's kind of funny because we went from the Champions League final last season to where he says basically after the game, like, he wants to play more, and now it's not about playing time, it's about I just want to stay and, like, you know, chill here.
Yeah, it's
so I don't know if that's just because his stock has fallen and now his narrative has had to have changed because of it. And in hindsight, it's really, really easy to say this, and I don't like playing this game. If they had sold him after that Champions League final, that would have been basically the best bang for buck you would have ever gotten for him, I think.
I agree.
In some ways. Not ever, but in the past few years anyway, because he had just finished scoring 2 goals in the Champions League final, one of them which was a freak show. But obviously, they also couldn't because they also lost Ronaldo, and... and they were hoping to rely on him, so you don't know any of this stuff that you know now, but, you know, now it's just difficult.
It's very, like a lot of things that go on at that club, it's very interesting and remains to be seen. I mean, just how many players go, I'm not sure who else is going to come in, but the outgoing, the departures at Real Madrid are now the most fascinating thing to me about this summer, and one of them looks to be Atletico bound. Keon, one of your personal favorites. I know you're devastated. Marcos Llorente likely to join Atletico in the coming days. A fee of around 40 million euros has been mooted. Personal terms all agreed. It looks like it's going to be a five-year contract for the 24-year-old. In terms of a Rodri replacement, I think it's a pretty good one, and we'll dive into why. But yesterday, you took some flack on Twitter, I think undeservedly so. Very undeserved. But you took some flack on Twitter for kind of comparing these two situations, and you went on the record with this. Why might Marcos Llorente be a better fit for Atleti than Rodri? I mean, is that crazy or not?
Well, I think to preface it, I'll say this. I think if you had to choose to build your team around one right now, the no-brainer choice is Rodri, because he's just better. He's been playing more. He is also younger. So, like, all of that into consideration, the smart thing would be to choose Rodri if you had a choice. The context of also why I say it another way, which Llorente would fit here, is because from Atletico's perspective, they lose a player who stylistically never really fit for them. And although is a great player in his own right, he's going to go now and thrive, assumingly, at City under Pep, in a team that thrives in counter-pressing and holding possession and incisive passing. That's his bread and butter. That's what he wants to do. So, like, Atletico's perspective is they lose a great player, but they make a lot of money off him, and they use some of that money to replace him with still one of the most promising players defensive midfielders in the world. I mean, you look at his age, he's 24. I'm like, I don't know when that happened. It seemed like he was like 2 years old yesterday. But now he's 24, which is still like, I'd say, 3 to 4 years away from a footballer's peak. A lot of players peak later in these days, and Llorente hasn't played much this season. So now you get a player like that who, like with Alaves, he's one of the top five defensive midfielders in Spain, was great every time he stepped foot on the pitch with Real Madrid this season, especially under Solari. And you get a player who stylistically fits because he's already kind of trained in that Alaves-Pellegrino scheme that Simeone not emulates, but stylistically similar in that he reads the game, reads the passing lanes really well, and he starts counters, and he's really good at pressing and hounding, defending his positioning, everything. Simeone's going to love him. So I think it's a win-win for everybody here, except for Real Madrid, which, you know, if depending on what happens to the rest of the transfer window for Real Madrid, it may be a win for Real Madrid too if they end up like with a midfield that consists of like maybe they pick up Ndombele, or maybe they get their Pogba, Eriksen, whoever figure, and they play a different kind of scheme without an anchor, a traditional guy. They could put Cruz deeper if they want to. It's not my favorite look, but I mean, with their signings, I assume they'll just recover from this without changing the course of club history. But it seems like a win-win for everyone. I think Atletico and him playing at Atletico every week, I think it's a really good deal.
Yeah, that's kind of been the issue with Llorente is that he just hasn't played much since Alaves. He got some game time in November and December this past season, but he had the abductor injury that knocked him out twice, and it didn't really give him much of a chance to truly compete with Casemiro. And it was tough because Llorente played really well when he did play this season. Really, really high passing completion. I want to say it was around 92 or 93% higher than Rodri's over the course
there was season. There was one period in the season where he played 10 minutes off the bench and had 100% passing accuracy off a 10 pass sample size.
Yeah, it's not
it
bad.
Was a great day.
One of the best days of the season.
Yeah.
And there are similarities between Rodri and Marcos. By the way, I forgot to mention this, but Rodri almost certainly is going to Manchester City for his 70 million euro release clause. Like Rodri, Marcos is a good passer, smooth on the ball. Both players averaged around the same passes per 90 minutes and with scary good completion. Rodri at about 91%, one of the highest figures in La Liga for a player with that much game time. And they really are similar, too, in terms of the interceptions and tackles that they record. Rodri's a bit better in the air, and I think overall the better talent and the better player. But this isn't like replacing Rodri with some kind of bum. Marcos Llorente is a really good player. We just haven't really seen it a whole lot in the last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't, but we've also really enjoyed the Llorente experience under Solari. You know, there was that whole period where Casemiro wasn't around. He was injured. And then Llorente got that surprise start in Rome in the Champions League against Roma. And we were all kind of a little bit worried for him because as much as we believed in him, he had gone like almost a year or so, more maybe, of just not playing. And then all of a sudden you shoehorn him into this Champions League away fixture, away to Rome. And then he comes out of that as one of the best players on the pitch. And then he continues his performances all throughout the winter and into early spring. But then essentially as soon as Solari was done, really not early spring, because essentially when Solari was done, and that was before I think the end of March or so, and Zidane came in, that was it, and we didn't see Llorente much after that. You know, like sometimes we label it as like Llorente, we haven't seen him in like a couple years since Alaves really, but we saw him in games this season and he looked great.
Yep, when he did play before the injuries that knocked him out of a lot of games, he was good. So the talent, it's not like the talent has gone away. It's not like the fee is unjustifiable. And I think actually Atletico have made out pretty well with this fee. And his release clause, I think, is 200 million. Obviously, Atletico weren't going to pay that. But Madrid easily could have got 50 or 60 million for him. And Atletico are getting a decent deal here. No buyback clause. So he is fully Atleti's. There is Atleti blood in his family. I think that Llorente arguably is as good, if not a slightly better fit for the system than Rodri was. I think it speaks to how damn good a player Rodri is that he excelled in Simeone's team, even though it was basically the opposite of the style he likes to play. Rodri needs the ball. Rodri needs to control tempo. Rodri needs to take a bunch of touches, and that is not always afforded to a player in Cholo's midfield. Here, Llorente is not going to need a lot of touches. He can just spend an entire game breaking up counterattacks. He can just spend a whole game just being a destroyer and recycling possession. That is what Cholo tried to make Rodri, with decent results, because Rodri's really, really good. But this system, and just kind of echoing what you said yesterday, this might be suited more to Llorente's strengths. The system might be suited better to Llorente than it was to Rodri. And for that reason, I'm excited. I'm just excited to see him play again and see exactly what he's going to do with a full season of game time.
Well, I think with Llorente also, he doesn't seem frustrated when he doesn't have the ball much, and he's not going to have it as much as he... At Real Madrid, in those games he played, he had a lot of the ball. A lot of possession went through him, and almost surprisingly, like, he would carry the ball up the pitch. He was getting shots in that from distances like closer to the box that he would never get with Alaves. So, like, with Atletico, though, he'll probably go back to not having the ball as much, and I think he's comfortable with that. And I would see times this season where I think Rodri at times was, like, visibly frustrated in certain games, because I think he really wasn't used to playing that way. And that's why I just keep going back that this is a win-win for everybody. I think you're going to get the best version of Rodri. You're probably going to get you get a whole season of and this is the other thing I wanted to say, Jeremy, because a lot of fans are upset, like, why Atletico? Why can't we sell him to another team? I think from Llorente's perspective, because sometimes as fans we get caught up so much in, like, oh, I would never play for our rivals. If someone puts a check in your face, you'll do anything, first of all. And I think for Llorente, like, he gets to stay in Madrid, which he obviously loves, and he also gets to play for a big team. I don't think there's any team that he could go to that would be as big as Atletico Madrid that would give him the playing time he wants. So from his perspective, he could go to Inter, not as big. He could go to, I don't know, he could go to pretty much any Spanish team he wants outside the top four, I assume, but not as big as Atletico. So from his perspective, this way he gets Champions League football, he gets to play under a great coach. He probably gets to play in just a really good team, by the way, because I thought you guys would have had a really tough transition phase. But if you come out of this window with João Felix now...
Oh, yeah.
And who else did you get this summer so far?
Felipe Montero has come in from Porto. It's expected Hector Herrera is going to follow him, and a couple other players as well are expected to come in. Anticipations that Atletico are going to sign 6 players this window. Another left back, another right back will come in, but not really any strong links either way there. But yeah, the João Felix signing hasn't been confirmed yet, but it will at some point today or tomorrow. It's extremely exciting. Very risky, but extremely exciting. And I still think there will be parts of this transition that will be tough with so many new faces coming in. Mario Hermoso is also likely to come in. Totally forgot to mention him, another Real Madrid product. But
be a great pickup.
Oh, I'm really excited about bringing Hermoso in. He's so good. And can play left back, too. So with all the new names coming in, I think there will be parts of the transition that will still be tough. But Atleti aren't getting caught with their pants down. They expected this. They knew this was coming, especially in the Rodri case. There were rumors about Rodri leaving in March and April. So Atleti got their work started well early enough to identify Llorente and get him all signed up and bring him in. So it's been an exciting summer to this point, and this is just another instance of it, bringing in a player of this quality.
You guys also have Versaico coming back, right?
What's
happening there?
Yeah, he is going to be out till November probably with his knee injury.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, Inter don't really want to keep him around anymore, which, you know, makes sense. So maybe Versalco plays a role at some point in the coming season, but hard to imagine. I mean, he really kind of fell out with Simeone in 2017-18. Despite renewing his contract, he really fell out of favor with him. So not really sure what's going to happen there.
Well, either way, I mean, I was just looking at your ins and outs, and like, to me, like, and I remember discussing this with the BN crew when I was there, it was just off air, like, Atletico probably have the toughest rebuilding job between the big three in Spain. But, you know, they may come out of this with, like, actually, I don't think they'll be better because you lost Griezmann, but if you come out of this with João Felix and Llorente and some other pieces that we are unknown yet, it's not bad, man. And Hermoso, like, because obviously you have the defending issues.
Yes.
One thing that I predicted in my 4-4-2 predictions was that if you do a Rodri-Otamendi swap, that also solidifies your defense a little bit. But I don't know if there's any links to Otamendi at this point.
No, those have kind of gone away. I would not have been in favor of that, considering Otamendi's age. Still a good player, but I think Atleti needed someone younger. There's still a lot to come this summer, and we're only in the middle of June, and both Madrid teams are already doing work. Keon, I'd love to have you back in a couple weeks, 10, 14 days.
Yeah, always fun, man. Anytime.
We'll go way in-depth on this thing.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
That was Keon Sobani. You can follow Keon on Twitter at Keon So. That is K-I-Y-A-N-S-O. He is the boss over at Managing Madrid. Read him over there. Keon Sobani at Keon So on Twitter. That'll do it for this edition of Colt Chinero Chat. I am your host, Jeremy Barron. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. That's J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, and like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program, Colt Chinero Chat, on your favorite podcasting platform that includes Apple Podcasts. Be sure to leave a rating and a review if you like us that much. Finally, feel free to head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. You have the chance there to become a Colt Chinero Chat amigo. From as little as $3 a month, you get access to the bonus pods and a guaranteed answer to your question on an episode of Colt Chinero Chat. Should you have any questions, that is. patreon.com/ColtChinero Chat. We'll be back next week. Until then, adios.